All right, friends, let's get together in God's Word. Yes, that would be great. Thank you so much. Let's get together in God's Word. We're going to be in Matthew 2, 1 through 12 this morning, so turn there in your Bibles. This is week 2 of a very short series in Matthew 1 and 2 during Christmas time, and the title of the sermon today is Merry Christmas, Jesus is our Shepherd King. Right, and I had a lot of fun considering that two-word hyphenated title for our Lord, the Shepherd King, and how great is it that you put those two words together and just think about the power of that for us in our lives, right? He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's leading us through whatever we're facing. Isn't that amazing? And so we'll see that today in these 12 verses. I want to start by just confessing this. This year, I've had some good states of mind, and I have lost my mind. And I think we've all had moments where we've wanted some people to use their minds, right? Are you with me on that? And all of you are thinking various things right now. All right, so a week ago, Gallup released a percentage mental health change result during 2020. And so, you know, they're measuring mental health. Where are all of these people on the scale according to where they were in 2019? And the only group that saw a percent increase in mental health were those who are renewing their minds by weekly worship attendance. Isn't that amazing? The only people on that whole list of every category they considered that were doing better mentally this year, and I know some of you are thinking, I don't know that I'm doing better mentally this year. I don't know if I'm in that category. I might throw off the statistic. They didn't ask me, right? But 4% increase. And check this out, no other factor, not political party, nor age, nor gender, nor race, nor income, etc. All of those saw a net increase. Yet, these are the things that people are making number one this year, aren't they? Those categories. Political party, age, gender, race, income, all of that. But the only people that saw a percentage increase in mental health this year are those who are worshiping the Lord Jesus and renewing their mind on him. That amazing? And how telling. And this comes from an organization that is learning this about people, and we see this and we can take hold of it. So as this year's ending, it's important for us to say that the difference for us as Christians is that we must keep holding fast too. As we've been holding fast, and as our mental health has been improving, I hope that's you. I'm not sure that it's me. We have this big idea. And it's this: we have Shepherd King Jesus leading us through this world, right? That's the difference. Why is it that Christians of all people have seen a percent increase in their mental health? It's because we have Shepherd King Jesus leading us through this world, and everyone else is looking for some other leader that is constantly failing. But we have a king and a shepherd leading us. So I want to give you two renewing your mind reminders from the Christmas story today that come to us courtesy of the travel agency of three wise men, okay? So here we go, 12 verses. The first 1 through 6 offer this renewing your mind reminder. It's this: seek King Jesus above all else, okay? Seek King Jesus above all else. We've had ample opportunity to learn that lesson this year, right? And then here we are in this passage, and this passage is showing this to us through the lens of these three wise men. Here's verses 1 through 2. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him.'" All right, so we have a huge fast forward from chapter 1 into chapter 2. Jesus is now born. We're not hearing about Joseph and Mary anymore. Wise men are seeking him, and a star is leading him. All right, wise men still seek him, right? I love that bumper sticker. And so the question is here, who are these wise men? We have some new names, some new places introduced. And here, who are these wise men? And the answer is we're not exactly sure. Matthew doesn't give a lot of detail about them. We don't have their name. All we have is general region that they came from. But we can capture from the details that we do have, we know they're from the east, so they're likely of a different religion. All right? We know they are intelligent because they are called the wise men, and we're just going to go with that. And then we know they're wealthy because of the types of gifts that they brought, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all of which are valuable. And then we know they're likely royal because in our manger scenes, wise men always arrive on camels, and those were luxury vehicles back in the day. All right? All right? So these other religion, intelligent, wealthy, royal humans left all that they had in order to seek King Jesus above all else. All right? Remember, these men were very likely royal, wealthy, had towns, had homes, had leadership, left all of that to come and seek Jesus above all of that. And what an amazing example, a powerful example of recognizing that there is someone way bigger than ourselves, than our nation, than our background, and his name is Jesus Christ. Who needs to hear that today? As Jesus would say, better to lose the world and save your soul than to gain the whole world and lose your soul. As John the Baptist would say, Jesus must increase, I must decrease. And as God the Father said in Jeremiah, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Right? So this passage is introducing us to these three wise men who are coming from a place probably without the Lord, but they're coming to know the Lord. And through that and through the lens of their story, we see some really amazing things about who Jesus is. So as we transition into verse 3, I need everyone to help me and just say, dun, dun, dun. It's great. I'm going to ask you again, I think. So just hold that, okay? Here comes verse 3. It says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Everyone say, dun, dun, dun. Great job. Thank you very much. That helps. Okay, so I want you to capture what God, as he's inspiring Matthew to write this by the power of the Spirit, in verse 2, you see that it says, where is he who has been born, what? King of the Jews, right? King of the Jews. And then in verse 3, right after that, it says, when Herod the, what? King, right? Matthew is building the tension that there's a new sheriff in town. And Herod was troubled about it. Like deep within, he's troubled about it. And why is he troubled? It's because he doesn't want anyone messing with his authority. He doesn't want anyone messing with his leadership, right? And then it says, all Jerusalem was troubled. Not just like a street, but like all Jerusalem was troubled. Not overjoyed, not rejoicing, troubled. What is happening? The king of the Jews has been born. What's going on? And so we learn that Jesus' birth created tension then, just like it does today. The tension is to convict us. And as we're convicted that there's a new sheriff in town, that there's a new king in town, we turn ourselves to him rather than ourselves. We lay ourselves down, we lay our preferences down, and we give ourselves to him in the way that he would lead us. We seek King Jesus above all. And the tension that's here when you've got one king versus another king, Jesus, is that we know that one is not like the other and we have the opportunity to choose wisely. Because only one is the King of Kings. So here's the King of Kings born into a setting where there's King Herod, and plenty of people wanted King Herod to be something and wanted Jesus to be something. And plenty of people there, as well as us, think we are kings or think other people are kings or certain situations are king. And here we see Jesus is the King of Kings, and he's born right into the midst of all of the things that we're going through. And the question is, how are we going to respond? So look at verses 4 through 6. It says, and assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, Herod, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophets, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. All right? So just quoted Micah 5, verse 2. And first of all, A-plus to the scribes and the chief priests for knowing their Bibles, all right? Because when we go through the Gospel of Matthew and all the other Gospels, you see the scribes and the chief priests really harden their hearts against the Lord Jesus and not believing in him because they want to retain their power. They want to retain their position. But here, they know their Bibles. They hadn't heard this from somewhere else. Where is he going to be born? They quoted the scriptures. Because the scriptures say where he's going to be born. And it says Bethlehem. And I just think that's awesome, right? They were holding fast to the promises of God. It says it in the book. It's going to happen like it says it's going to happen in the book. That's really cool. And so Herod the king comes in and says, where is he going to be born? They open the book. What a cool thing that must have been in front of King Herod. Or really, they had memorized it and they say, this is where he's going to be. So what's the big deal? What's the big deal about Bethlehem? First of all, like we talked about last week, it's absurd that a king would be born in a shepherd town like Bethlehem. It's absurd. Kings are born within the protection and the confines of palaces. They're born with everybody thinking the time is near and everyone's worshiping. Everyone's thinking this person's coming, this person's coming. The whole town or kingdom is ready. But here, Jesus' birth is pretty quiet except for those angels, except for those shepherds. And it's happening in Bethlehem, way out in the wilderness, and basically a shepherd's town where they would have some supplies. So why? What's the significance of all of that? And I think it's the king who delivers us from spiritual wilderness was born in the wilderness. Right? He knows exactly what we're facing, and he knows that we'll think, man, can you relate to me? Can I relate to you? And just recognizing that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was born in a little shepherd town shares a lot with us about who he is and how accessible he is and how he understands our situation. Spiritual wilderness, he's born into the wilderness, this little town of Bethlehem. So here we see why King Jesus, why we would seek King Jesus above all else. Right here in this passage, we see this comparison developing that Jesus is a king of an eternal kingdom. That the king who came down is Jesus Christ. He's not a king that is just perched on high always. He comes down and he sacrifices himself for the forgiveness of our sins. He's the king who leads with truth and with grace and with hope and with peace. And y'all, we don't have a leader. We've never had a leader that does that so perfectly as Jesus Christ does. He's the king who has no term limits. He's the king for the long haul, eternity long. He's the king who is holding eternal things together while all the temporary things are crumbling just like he said they would. That's why we seek King Jesus above all else. So the question for us today is, are we seeking King Jesus above all else? Are we after other things first and then we get to Jesus? Are we seeking him first above all else? That's the first thing. The second thing this morning, toward renewing your mind through this Christmas story, through travel agents of these three wise men, is this. Follow Shepherd Jesus at all times. Okay? So we seek King Jesus above all else. Let's also follow Shepherd Jesus at all times from verses 7 through 12. So look at this from 7 and 8. It says, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. All right, so you know when someone is asking you a question and you can just tell that they have an agenda, right? Behind that question. Like, just notice, thankfully these wise men are wise men. They know something's up. They know this guy has some sort of hidden agenda, and they're not even trusting King Herod. There would have been a lot of pressure in this moment. Do exactly what Herod says, exactly the way he says it. He's the king. You're in his land. You better obey what he's saying. But instead, they're wise to him. I think it's really cool, too, that the wise men met with Herod, kind of a big deal. But Herod was not who they sought to follow, nor on whom they thought the modern world depended. They were following Shepherd Jesus. They were seeking King Jesus. Look at verses 9 and 10. It says, after listening to the king, they went on their way. I love that. They stayed on course. They were not distracted. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That was one of our year themes years ago. You remember that? With great joy. So how many of you have seen in the news that the Star of Bethlehem is going to be shining tomorrow night from like 5 to 11? How many of you have seen that in the news, right? They're calling it multiple things, and it's speculation whether or not, of course, this is the Star of Bethlehem. And what's happening tomorrow night is the aligning of our two biggest planets, Jupiter and Saturn, and they'll be within 1/10 of a degree of one another, so they'll be super bright. And you look at the arc of where that would have gone around 2,000 years ago, and it could have ended up right there over Bethlehem. All of that's pretty cool, but it's all speculation that this is the Star of Bethlehem we'll see tomorrow night. We should look, though. I think it'd be cool, right? It's just cool, right? God created the sun and the moon and the stars. But what we can for sure capture from this verse about this star and about what's happening tomorrow night is that the Lord can use any means to direct people to Jesus. Any means. He's created all of it, right? He is the creator. And there are people in this church, in this room today, people that I've talked to in the last months who feel really led to the light. They feel really led to the Lord. What God is bringing me. I'm not there yet. I don't believe it yet. I'm doubting him still, but there's something happening. And I just tell them, keep moving forward toward the Lord. Keep following him. He is drawing you to himself because he loves you and he cares for you, and keep following him. And he can use any means to do it. He can use great things in your life, middle of the road things in your life, bad things in your life to bring you to himself. He can bring a person to you. He can bring conversation with a lost person, conversation with a saved person, all of that. Just follow him. Just follow him. Let him use his means to lead you to himself. So there's two traps, really, that the wise men have already avoided, right? They're following Shepherd Jesus at all times. So the first trap is Herod, right? They could have just hunkered down with Herod and created trade deals or whatever, right? Like, let's have a business leader, a world leader meeting, and let's hang out together and let's figure things out between your area of the world and ours, and hey, we have these things over here and we could trade and all of that. They could have gotten off course, and they didn't. They also could have gotten off course by the star. Like, amazing star, and man, night after night, and you're following that thing, and then it becomes all about the star, and you lose the main point, which is who? It's Jesus. And y'all, they didn't become astrologers, right? They may have been at the outset, but at this point, they know they're going after someone. That star is leading them to someone. Just so important. They're after Jesus. They're following him. So when they got to Jesus, the question is, what was it like? What did they do? And which one of them was the little drummer boy? I tried to deliver that joke differently in the first service. It didn't go over well at all in the first service. And more of you laughed the second one. I'm trying. All right, here we go. Here's verses 11. Look at this. It says, and going into the house, just pause. Just think about that for a second. Three wise men from the east, very likely different religion, very likely wealthy, very likely left their kingdoms, their families, all that stuff. They came. There's three kings at the doorfront of the King of Kings. Right? Just imagine that scene. And it says, and going into the house, like God the Son was on the earth, y'all. They saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So these three wise men, what did they do? They did two things. They worshiped Jesus. Like, what do you do when you meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You worship. And they did. From the east, different religion, different backgrounds, proving to us that anyone can turn from their ways and worship Jesus as the Lord and Savior. The second thing they did is they gave Jesus gifts of their treasures. And these were really good gifts. This wasn't like, you gave me a gift, so I'm going to give you a gift, right? These are amazing gifts. We'll talk more about them on Thursday. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Costly. Costly to have, costly to give. And so this was an act of worship. And really, one cool thing about Christmas time for us is we celebrate it these days. So much of what we do on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, Christmas week, December, November, whenever Christmas starts for you, is based on what these wise men did as they met the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who at this point was maybe a toddler. We worship, and we turn our radios on to secular stations, and we hear hymns like the ones we've sung this morning with the gospel, and we give gifts to others, and we think, let's be as specific as we can to offer gifts that are perfect to this person that I love. And so we carry these traditions into our lives now. In response. And I know we're far from that, and it takes a lot of effort to think of it, but that's really where it begins. So verse 12 closes this passage this way. So back to the wise men. They've been in the room with Jesus Christ. Like, we know what Jesus is going to do. They didn't at this point, right? They've been in the room with him. Verse 12 says, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Exit the three wise men. So what's remarkable is these men traveled from the east. They came and hung out with Jesus Christ, the baby boy, and then they go home. And I wonder what it was like when they go home. What are they telling their wives? What are they telling their kids? What are they telling their people? I met who? What did they know about him? We don't know. We just know that there's this encounter and these people came. And what we learn from it is people all over the world can worship Jesus Christ. We know that people from any background can come and worship Jesus Christ. We know what we do when we meet him. We worship him. We give him our lives. We give him our best. We give him our gifts. And we see too in this passage from these wise men that there's so many traps around us all the time to go off course, right? We're following Jesus. We're seeking Jesus as our king. But there's so many opportunities to go off course and get distracted, aren't there? There's so many. They could have gotten sidelined by being around King Herod and hanging out with him. They could have thought, you know what? Let's just do the business deal. This is more my lane. I'm not really used to what I'm doing right now. Let me go with that. We'll just hang with King Herod. They could have done that. They could have gone off course with the star for sure. Right? Cool celestial thing happening. Never seen that before. And man, I think they're leading me. And how about I just let the paparazzi follow us and become all about me and we'll get a book deal going, right? They didn't do that. They kept following the Lord. And then here at the end, they were supposed to go back to Herod and tell him exactly the location of Jesus. And they didn't. The Lord warned them in a dream and they obeyed the Lord. And for all we know, y'all, these are pagan men. They're obeying the Lord. They're being led by the Lord to come and meet Jesus. We see so many amazing things about how the Lord loves and leads people to himself and to his son. They stayed the course and they sought Jesus and they found him. So one thing I want to point out that's really amazing about this passage is that the Lord who promised is faithful. All right, the Lord who promised is faithful. And we see that in our theme verse right over there. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is what? Faithful. Y'all, there's a verse in this passage, Micah 5:2, that was delivered by God hundreds of years before this happened. And you know what he did? He was faithful to that verse, and he did what he said, even as absurd as the verse seemed back then. He did it. And so I want you to hear, and I want you to feel, in the midst of all the things that you're facing, and in the midst of all the ways where you might be thinking, is God's plan still in play? How could it be in play with whatever's happening? He who promised is faithful. We should have no doubt that God's plan is still barreling forward. He is in control. He knows what's up. And his plan is ongoing and happening in every way. He preserves his plan. And you can follow Shepherd Jesus at all times, even this year. So I want to give some closing questions after this passage and after this year. Number one is, have other things taken over your mind this year? Have other things taken over your mind this year? And I mean like taken you. You're just hook, line, and sinker on all these other things. And you're recognizing, you know what? I need to seek King Jesus above all else. I need to follow Shepherd Jesus at all times. Have the things of this world taken your time with the Lord? Have they taken church from you? Have they taken God's priorities from you? And I just want to say to you, if you're feeling that that's you, don't be led to slaughter by things that will change very soon. Right? Follow King Jesus who never changes. Follow Shepherd Jesus who never changes. We have a shepherd king who is leading us through this world. It is the difference between us and everybody else. We have a shepherd king, the shepherd king, leading us through this world. Everyone else is trying to find something to follow that is worthy, that doesn't give up on them. And that is Jesus Christ. And we have him, church, brothers and sisters. And let's follow him. Seek King Jesus above all else. Follow Shepherd Jesus at all times, and you will be in a far healthier state of mind, even as Gallup has observed. All right? So we're going to share communion now and enjoy reflecting on our Lord Jesus here for just a few moments. And as we reflect on him and his work for us by dying on the cross to pay the penalty of our sin, I want you to use these next moments, and I'm going to give you some time to pray, to repent and believe in the Lord, number one, and secondly, to reorder your life on the Lord, okay, toward the Lord. First, to repent and believe in the Lord doesn't just mean that first time you come to the Lord Jesus. It also means, man, there's places I've gotten so off track, Lord. I have taken so many detours this year, and I don't even know which detour I'm on after the first and second and third and fourth detour. I just need to come back. And what's cool is the Lord doesn't just put you in reverse and bring you through all that stuff. He'll just put you right back on course. That's called forgiveness. That's called his grace. That's called his mercy. He's right there. He's close to you. He's with you, right? Just talk to him. Confess that, right? Repent and believe. Put your faith back in the Lord and repent of your sin. The second thing that repent and believe means is if you're here, you're watching today, and you don't have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, you can turn from your sin and turn from those ways and come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can confess your sin and be saved of your sin by confessing Jesus as Savior. I urge you to do that today. Come to Jesus. As these wise men did, leave what you have behind and come to Jesus. The only thing you bring to Jesus is your sin, and he forgives you of your sin, and he gives you new life. That's the gospel. And he paid the penalty for your sin on the cross. He's the king who died, who sacrificed himself, and he's the king who rose and is victorious now forever. That's our Lord. So repent and believe. And the next is reorder your life toward the Lord. Y'all, every year in December, I always think, like, how am I going to read the word in 2021? How am I going to be praying? What are some things that I want to do for the Lord in 2021? But honestly, this year, I'm thinking, I want to get back to the basics. And 2020 has taught us, man, the basics are important. There's core things that we love, things that God's provided. And so maybe this is an opportunity today for you to do some planning, to reorder your life toward the Lord. Maybe you're all out of whack. Let's enjoy that today. So I want to give you some time to pray and think on those, repent and believe, and reorder your life. And then I'll lead us through communion in just a moment.